Frank, Hayes, and JJ.
Hit it!
It's time for The Frangie Show on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, we welcome you in. Glad you're along for the ride. Today's new drug is a gorgeous restaurant. Second time we've been live from Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Gainesville. Our appearance here is brought to you by our friends at Florida Victorious, and we certainly appreciate them. They are sponsoring our trip here, and they're also sponsoring a huge day tomorrow at the Orange and Blue game. And Freddie Wiebe, who is a big part of Florida Victorious, is going to join us in just a few moments to tell us all about that. But, man, I can't come here without being really excited and really overwhelmed by it. Frank Frangie, Hayes Carlion here, J.J. LaSelva back at World Headquarters. This place amazes me every time I walk in.
It really is. This is the third time I've been here, and I notice things that I didn't notice before, and including this beautiful painting behind us that shows Spurrier's kick to beat Auburn and kind of clinch the Heisman. And so it's, again, if you're a Gators fan, you got to come here. And, again, it's you can just feel it in the air. It's Florida football means so much to this area, and the spring game tomorrow is, you know, hopefully going to show us some really good things for the club this fall.
Yeah, fun day today on this Friday. Our Friday is always brought to you by our friends at Big Chief Tire Company. Thanks to Reed and the good folks at Big Chief. We sure appreciate them. Five locations in town, Orange Park, two on the west side, the north side, and the south side. If you need brakes, automotive of any kind, alignment, and, of course, oil change, of course, your tires, the best tires in the business come from our friends at Big Chief. We sure appreciate our Big Chief Tire family. Big Chief Tire Friday, always around here on the Frangie Show. All right, big show today. Freddie Wiebe's going to be here. He kind of is one of the key. Nate Barbera runs Florida Victorious, but Freddie's one of the key marketing and development people here. He also put together Spurrier's. He's put together this fantastic venue, so he'll tell us a little bit about that, but really about Florida Victorious. That's why we're here. It's their NIL initiative. They're a partner of the radio station. As you know, you hear their games on all the games, all the football and basketball games and baseball games on our radio station, so they're a good partner, so we're happy to be here. And, of course, Hayes and I are Gators, so you knew that part, but this is a big partnership with our radio station, so we're happy to be here. A lot to do. My friend Shane Matthews is traveling back from Mississippi, so he will not be here. I tried to wrangle him in, but his daughter lives in Mississippi, and he's from Mississippi, as you probably know, so he was heading back from Mississippi, but we'll be here. But I think the ball coach is coming by a little bit. We'll talk a little ball. I think Steve Spurrier is going to be in the house, and Steve's meeting Jimmy Ray Stevens, his old line coach, who's in town. I think they're all going to have dinner. But I think we're going to wrangle Steve in here in the 5 o'clock hour, we hope. We'll talk a little ball with the ball coach, which will be kind of fun. So hopefully that comes up in just a bit. So we're glad to be at Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. And again, Freddie Wiebe joins us in just a few moments. Other things going on in the world of sports, carnage in North Georgia. Yes. That's what's going on, is it not?
Really is. I mean, it's been amazing to see how difficult Augusta National is playing today. So much so that the cut is right now 4 over. Again, it's an 89-man field, top 50 in ties make the cut. So it's not an overly difficult cut to make in terms of compared to most events. But, boy, it is a struggle today, and there's a lot of notable players that are on the wrong side of that list. It's hard to find a lot of great rounds. Now, you look at it, Ludwig Hebert is 4 under. He's gotten it to 3 under for the tournament. He's in a tie for 6th. But right now, if you're 1 under for the day, you're gaining ground at the Masters.
Yeah, and so we'll certainly update you on that. J.J. LaSelva, who hails from, what would you figure? I'm going to guess 43 minutes from his driveway to where we're sitting. What would you guess? I'm going 43-30. Yeah. J.J., your driveway where you grew up to where I'm sitting right now, 43 minutes, give or take?
Depending on traffic, absolutely. Straight down 441.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in LaSelva land is what I want to call this for now. Okay, yeah. This is JJ territory is where we sit here. Have you been to Spurrier's yet, JJ?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you would love it. We have to drag JJ down here now. JJ,
he's coming to see his Canes.
That's right. And he's staying 43 minutes from here. That's the plan for JJ. So, but yeah, it's a cool place to hang out. JJ, I also can tell you, it does look like I'm buying you barbecue on Monday. Have you followed along close enough to know that?
Listen, we're not done yet, but it looks like you're in trouble.
Yeah, all I need now, the only hope I have now, Hayes, is Meredith to come through for us, okay?
Yeah,
Meredith Scheffler is what I need here. I need her to make a call. I need that water to break sometime Sunday morning and the call to go out. And Scotty say, listen, I'm sorry. I know I was 12 shots up on the field, but I've got
to
leave.
Yeah, you need to call her doctor and say, you know, you're Dr. Frank Frangie and it's time to induce.
That's exactly right. So, but it does look that way. Loser Monday, JJ's first entree into it. He's gonna get some free food out of it, it looks like. A lot of things to talk about.
Scheffler is playing great. I mean, he's one over for the day, but he's five under for the tournament. He's in solo third right now. DeChambeau at seven, Homa at six, and then Scheffler at five. So, as you would expect, a tremendously captivating leaderboard. But really, the story today is going to be all the notable players that struggled.
And obviously, the story will continue to be Bryson DeChambeau, who was such a big story on tour when he was having the great year. Not long after that, he was among those who left for LIV. And I still say, Hayes, you and I have had this conversation, those who leave for LIV to the common populace become invisible. They just do. And I haven't seen hide or hair of Bryson DeChambeau until this week. He started today 7-under. He's even par today through about 6 or 7, I want to say, give or take. I think he's even par today through 6 or 7 holes.
He's through 12.
He is through 12. Yeah, so he's even par for the day. He was 7-under yesterday. He's still at 7-under. Max Homa is at 6-under. Scotty Scheffler, about whom we just talked, is at 5-under after being 1-over today. He's through 7, so we'll certainly talk about that today. So, but that's I think DeChambeau's the story. That I would say is the story.
Yeah, certainly at the top, and then you got to tip your cap to Tiger Woods. We were certainly concerned about the delay and Tiger having to play a lot of golf and how would his body react. Well, his game has held up magnificently well. He was even today. With a 72, that's going to end up being a really quality score when we get to the end of today's round. He's not really in contention. He's tied for 25th right now. He's one over for the event, but he is going to make the cut. So he is going to set that record with his 24th consecutive made cut at the Masters. So another achievement for Tiger Woods and his iconic career. And he's, if his body holds up, he's got two more rounds at Augusta. So, again, too far back, I think, to make a serious charge at it. But, I mean, if he ends up winning this event, it'll be the greatest golf story in the history of the sport.
A lot of things.
But very solid golf for 2 days from Tiger Woods.
So a lot of things to talk about today on the program. We'll talk some Masters throughout the course of the day. Pete Prisco joins us in the 5 o'clock hour, as always, to talk some NFL. We do think Steve Spurrier, the ball coach, the proprietor here at Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, will be with us in the big weekend. This is as big a weekend as there is in Gainesville other than a real football weekend.
Yeah.
Freddie Wiebe will join us again. He's one of the main movers of this Florida Victorious initiative. And Freddie thinks there will be 60,000 people at the spring game tomorrow, which will be the most since Urban Meyer was a coach. So certainly they've created momentum. It's interesting, isn't it, that the Florida football team, which hasn't been very good on the field in a few years, including Billy Napier's two, has created a momentum in the fan base that it had not had. They're selling out all the games. You can see it all. I mean, they're going to have the biggest crowd, they think, tomorrow that they've had since Urban Meyer was the football coach here. Isn't it interesting, the momentum in the fan base, given that the team has struggled the way it has?
It really is. I think the excitement starts at the quarterback position, because now I think even the most skeptical Gator fans when it came to Graham Mertz's arrival, now you have to be fully on board with the production that he was able to.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's proven he's pretty good. So, you know, people want to come, they want to see Graham Mertz, but the real attraction, as we all know, is when anytime Florida has a five-star quarterback showing up and it's the first time he's been able to be seen by the public in game action, it is going to bring a lot of people into the swamp. And DJ Lagway certainly is bringing that kind of excitement. And I do think the expectation is that he will have some kind of role this fall as a supplemental part of the offense. So Gator fans, they certainly want to get their first view of DJ Lagway tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. So exactly right. So Yeah, there's a lot of fun things to see here. There's no question. You know, Freddie Wiebe's going to join us in just a minute. I know he's in the area, and so we want to learn all about really what NIL is. NIL is the most popular talked about phrase. Realistically, it's the most talked about phrase in college athletics now.
Sure,
I think people don't completely know what it is. People have an idea what it is. Here's what we know. People are coming up with money to pay athletes. That's what we know. My friend Freddie Wiebe is the proprietor here, but
and
also
if you don't do it, you're not going to win.
That's right. But he also is immensely involved in Florida Victorious, which is the new NIL initiative here in Gainesville. Frank Frangie, Hayes Carline with you. Freddie joins us now on the program. Freddie, how are you, man?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks for having us here at this magnificently gorgeous restaurant that you and Steve have put together. I said this at the top. I'm wild more every time I come in here. So congratulations on your success here. I mean, that's
thank you, thank you, and thank you guys for joining us today. We're very proud of this restaurant, what it's become for Gator Nation.
Yeah,
it's a destination for all Gator fans from across the globe, and it's kind of cool to see that.
You have seen that, and I think the ball coach is going to stop by and join us in the 5 o'clock hour. So that'll be fun as well. Freddie, everybody's heard the phrase NIL. I think we know what it is. It was name, image, and likeness. We know what the letters stand for. We know it's a way to raise money to help athletes who are currently in the program. Florida had a previous NIL operation. Didn't go very well. It's gone now. Florida Victorious is the new one. The CEO is Nate Barbera. Am I saying his name right? I hope I am.
That's correct.
And you're involved in from a marketing, development, fundraise. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing here and what this NIL initiative is for Florida.
My position, my title at least, is the Director of Corporate Revenue. We have a team of three, Don Rodriguez and Bob Whitmore and myself, to go out and collect money from a corporate world, from the business world, and support the Florida Victorious. Florida Victorious is an entity that's the proud part of the Florida Gators. Our job is to solicit and recruit money and fund the University of Florida student-athlete. Florida Victorious has a team of 11. Nate's the CEO.
Okay.
We all work together as one group to do so. And NIL was born in 21, 3 years ago or so, by Supreme Court decision. And it's here to stay. And as we evolve into more rules and regulations, which will happen, I believe after the elections, the Congress will make it an issue. And there'll be more rules and more regulations. And because of the lack of that, it's a little bit of vagueness. And people kind of are confused with it. What is it? It's here to stay. And the University of Florida, we fund over 200 athletes today, 11 different sports. And if we have more money, we will fund more athletes. There's over 500 athletes at UF, and there's 21 sports. But, you know, what we bring in, we'll take care of what's doing today. And hopefully as we evolve and gain the support of Gator Nation across the state and across the country, we will do so.
Freddie, you guys have some outstanding events going on before and after the Orange and Blue game tomorrow. For Gator fans that want to be a part of that, how can they be a part of that?
Absolutely. There's a lot of cool stuff happening tomorrow, the spring game. This is the first game of the year. It's kind of a scrimmage, yes, but it's really a game atmosphere. You know, hopefully we're hoping for 60,000 fans. If you're listening in the Jacksonville area or anywhere on your app and in the listening area, it's a short drive to Gainesville. The game kicks off at 1 o'clock. It'll be about 2.5 to 3 hours. After the game, one of the big initiatives we're doing a meet and greet, an autograph session. You get to go on Steve Spurrier Field, sign autographs, take pictures with the team, whether you're a Mertz fan or Lagway fan or Coach Napier fan. The entire team will be there. But to do so, you have to be a Florida Victorious member. So we ask you to go on the website today and get your membership. If you haven't done so yet, it's www.floridavictorious.com. Click the membership button. And people think, oh, do I have to give $1 million to be a member? You don't. Membership starts at $15 a month, and it's that affordable, and you help 90% of that money goes to the student athletes, so you're helping the Florida Gators win by becoming a member. We have 3,000 members today, and our goal is to get to 5,000 members, and it takes a lot of, you know, collecting little money to make big money. We've done a great job with the donors on the big money scale, but we also need the middle scale money to come in, and that's what the memberships are for. There's a lot of perks to becoming a member. You get to meet athletes, you get special events, you can attend, and it's pretty cool to be a member of Florida Victorious.
All right, tomorrow you're giving away a truck?
We are.
Tell me about that.
Of course.
I mean, someone's getting a truck tomorrow. Someone's driving out of here, Carline, with a truck tomorrow. How's
absolutely.
That?
A lucky fan is driving home a Chevy Silverado brand new truck that's all gator skinned.
How about that?
Looks amazing. It'll be on the field tomorrow. You'll see it when you come in, if you come into the game. We're going to select three fans to come down to the field, and then the first break of the third quarter,
right?
Each of those three will get a key. One of the key will start the car, and the lucky fan
drives it away. How about that, hey? I mean, just drive right out of there.
It's okay? Fantastic.
So you have to be a member.
You don't have to be a member to win the truck.
Just be at the game.
Game. Yeah, we're trying to make the Orange and Blue game big. We really want to get as many fans in there and help the Gators get momentum. Yes, it's a tough season. The schedule is difficult, all that good stuff, but we can do this. I remember the Spurrier and Urban days when we had 70,000 people in the stands for spring game. Why not do that again? Let's do so.
Yeah, you got the Townsends are coming to do a punt contest. Everyone knows the Townsends. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff around the game tomorrow, not just the football team.
I mean, speaking of the Townsend, how cool is that?
Yeah.
The two brothers will be on the field at the end of the first quarter. There'll be a Florida Victorious punt for a cause contest. They're each going to punt. They're both punters in the NFL and former Gators. And we have a big Florida Victorious target on the field. And the ball that lands closest to that target, a donor from Florida Victorious will donate $2,000 to the charity of choice. How cool is that?
That is really cool. So all right, let me ask the question. Now, a lot of people want to know about NIL. Everyone thinks NIL goes, the superstar athlete gets the millions of dollars, and that's how you keep the superstar athlete in play. Walter Clayton, the basketball player, Merce Langway, whoever. Does it work like that? Who decides who gets the money? Do you work with the coaches on that? And this not just for Florida, but for everybody, Freddie. How does that play out?
That's a great question, right? So, like I mentioned, we have a team of 11, and our CEO, Nate Barbera, handles that piece.
Okay.
He works with the coaches. They assign what the value is. And it's not really just for super athletes. Like I mentioned, we have over 200 athletes today getting compensated. A good example would be, look at the basketball team, okay? Six of the Florida Victorious members on that team generated almost 60 points a game this past year.
Wow.
Look at the transition, what happened to our team in 1 year.
Yeah.
This is what NIL is doing to sports. It's everywhere. It's in every college. It's not just the University of Florida. The key thing is fans need to embrace NIL. NIL is here to stay. They need to understand it. We need to do a better job explaining what NIL is, and we're doing so. We're doing so through our marketing campaign. NIL will change, rules will change, but the fact of collecting money for the student athlete is not going to change. I compare it to free agency in the NFL. When it first came, every coach hated it. Every player hated it. Every fan hated it. Today, it's the law of the land, and it works like a business everywhere else. And this is what's going to happen in NIL. I believe in 2 to 3 years, everybody will embrace it. You know, for Florida fans, this is a clear message. If you want the Florida Gators to win, you need to support Florida Victorious. There is no other way for winning without NIL. There's no way it's going to happen. If you want the football team to bring another championship, a fourth championship, to Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, support Florida Victorious today. Go on the website. Join, be a member, donate, or ask for a corporate sponsorship, whether you're a small business, a middle business, a large business. We will tailor a package for your business where you get an ROI, and hence you'll support the Florida Gators as well.
And it really does lead to the athletes doing some great things in the community, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, student athletes participate in community work and charity work today. Nothing for me is more, I'm so passionate about this because I see him building homes for the Habitat for Humanity. I see him at the food bank preparing packages for the hungry. I see him at the Ronald McDonald House prepping breakfast and lunch and feeding the parents that don't have money to stay in a hotel. That's what the University of Florida student athlete is doing with NIL. And in return of that job, they're getting compensated through their NIL funding. This is how it's working today in most colleges.
Yeah, the interesting part about that is, and again, the question I asked a minute ago, we all want to know, is the star athlete, did Carson Beck get $2 million to stay at Georgia? Did the star athlete?
Look at Ohio State.
Yeah.
The spending the Buckeyes keep that team from
and so
going
it's,
into
so
the
it's
draft.
Happening. But to the point you made a minute ago, Freddie, it also kind of teaches life lessons to athletes. Not every athlete's $1 million athlete, but the whole giving back. Not that athletes wouldn't give back anyway. But as far as being involved in helping others that need help, helping the underserved, that's a big part of this. Any athlete, not just a guy getting a couple hundred bucks, but the athletes getting the big dollars, if I'm understanding you right, they've all got to get in the community and do their part, right?
They have to do that. They take financial classes. They learn how to save their money, how to invest their money. There's a lot of cool things. And to be honest with you, you guys, the media, have not done a good job exposing the positive part of NIL. There's this negative aura around NIL. It's not negative. Yeah. It's not. This is the new way of college athletics. Embrace it. Fans,
right.
Media, everyone needs to embrace it. This is not going to change. I read things. I listen to things. I listen to radio shows such as yours in Jacksonville. And we need to do a better job educating your listeners. We have to do that. We are at fault for that. And this is why we're here today. NIL is here to change. We just need to explain it better. And yes, athletes are getting compensated for doing a job. It's a J-O-B. And in return, they get compensated. And this is the way the rules are.
You mentioned some of the fun activities tomorrow post-game and during the game, but we talked about that basketball team having the amazing year, and they've got something pre-game, right, at 11, where they fans can and that are Florida Victorious members can go and see Clayton and Pullen and Han Logden and guys like that.
And Coach Golden, that's correct. So at 10 o'clock tomorrow, the tailgate opens in the north lawn of the stadium. There'll be about 20 to 30 tents and vendors and fan fests and cool stuff for the family, for the kids, for everyone. Come on down. Those 3 hours are going to be lots of fun. We have one of the largest tents out there as Florida Victorious. In that tent, you can win some swag from Florida Victorious. You can register. You can get your wristband to enter the field. And we also have a member area where we'll have former athletes. We have the gymnastics teams coming in at 10 o'clock with Coach Jenny Rowland. We have the women's basketball team coming in. At 11 o'clock, we have the men's basketball team, like you mentioned, Walter Clayton and his teammates. Coach Golden will be there. You'll be able to take pictures with them, shake hands, and say hello. And we'll have different athletes coming in underneath the Florida Victorious umbrella and really engaging with fans. And come on down. If you have any questions about memberships, you want to join right there, we'll have a booth for that. And it's going to be tons of fun out there as well.
FloridaVictorious.com. That's where you go. If you want to find out more how to join, Freddie just said it costs $15 a month to join. You can give more than that, but to get in the door.
To be in the club,
$15 a month. I know the Florida people. I'm a Florida grad, Hayes is as well. I appreciate you doing this. And I know the NIL world, I agree with you. I'll disagree a little bit. I think all the negative vibe out there, at least from my standpoint, is about the portal. It's because people change teams so fast. I think people get that NIL is good. Maybe I'm off, Freddie. You know what I mean? NIL is a good thing because it's helping students who work their butt off make a little extra money. There's no possible way that's a bad thing. You know, I mean, it really isn't. I think the portal is what people hate. I'm on this team today, and I'm on that team next year, and there's guys that play on four teams. But I think, back to the point, I think the NIL is good, right? It helps these kids work hard. It helps them make money. I mean, how in the world can that be bad, right?
I mean, you're right, and truly, think about this. The student-athlete has to go to class, go do homework, go to practice, go to the weight room. Right. Where are they going to have time to get a job?
Watch film.
Right, you know? Right. I mean, yeah, it's a real job.
This is why this is existing. Yeah. This is why there is NIL. And another thing, I bring it from a different angle, if you allow me. There are over five. You said you're both grads, right? Mm-hmm. You're UF grads. There's 500,000 of you guys.
Yeah.
There's 500,000 alumni at the University of Florida. If each of you give $10 tomorrow, University of Florida will be the number one collective in the entire country.
How about that? If every graduate gave $10, that's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah,
so.
This is what it's going to come down to. Yes, there are big donors taking care of business, but we need the little dollars. $15 a month, $10 a month, $20 here, it will add up collectively. We are one of the largest universities in the country, the largest in the state of Florida. Gator Nation is everywhere. There are 2 to 3 million viewers of any Gator game. If they each give $10, you will become the number one university in the country.
FloridaVictorious.com. You're a passionate guy, Freddie. Congratulations on that and on this fantastic place here, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Can't wait to see the ball coach go in a little bit. Freddie, thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Back in a moment. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now back to a Big Chief Tire Friday on The Frangie Show. Big Chief Tire. Visit BigChiefService.com.
Frank Frangie Hayes Car Line here on location. It's Spurrier's Gridiron Grill here in Gainesville. JJ, back at the world headquarters. That was really interesting. Now, again, listen, full disclosure, Florida Victorious is our sponsor today. They paid to have us come down here. They're, you hear them by commercials on the air. There's billboards everywhere. So yes, this is part of this is infomercial in full disclosure. When the ball coach comes in here, it'll be football talk, by the way. And so, full disclosure is this is a Florida Victorious remote that they paid for. But there's so much to learn about it. This new collective, they're trying, and he didn't tell us exactly how much money they're trying to raise, but we know it's millions.
Sure.
And we know the big-time athletes get the millions. And Freddie did what he's supposed to do, is talk about the fact that 200 athletes get covered and 11 sports get covered. But we know what the guy driving down the road hearing us, right? And I told Freddie this. What he wants to know about is how many millions is it going to take to keep Walter Clayton here? Or how many millions will it take to keep Trey Wilson here after next year? That's really the conversation, and they're not letting that out, and nor should they. I'm guessing definitely million or two to keep the good players. You know, I can tell you, and Freddie didn't tell me this, and nobody at Florida told me this, but I've heard through the grapevine that even a guy emerged command him,
right?
And that Carson Beck is getting way more than that. You know, so there's been, and again, I don't know. I want to be clear.
And again, look at Ohio State. Just to understand the amounts of money that are involved here, look at the players that Ohio State was able to keep from entering the draft.
Right.
I mean, we're talking guys that were expected to go somewhere like mid to late first round. And obviously they were well compensated to stay. There's a story on the Athletic that talks that after Ohio State lost in the Cotton Bowl, the boosters basically got together. The headline was, after an embarrassing Cotton Bowl loss, Ohio State donors went on a spending spree.
Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break. Come back and get it. We'll do some headlines. We'll get all figured out coming up in just a bit. This is 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
Now back to a Big Chief Tire Friday on The Frangie Show. Big Chief Tire. Visit BigChiefService.com.
And we welcome you back to the program live at Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Frank Frangie, Hayes Carlin, and the ball coach is with us, Steve Spurrier. How are you, man?
Hey, Frank. Good to be with you guys. How often you come here?
You know what? This is about my third time, and I need to come more often. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I tell you what. We've got an early crowd getting ready for the Orange and Blue game tomorrow. So, but we've always got a crowd here. We've been very fortunate to have a excellent chef, people that work here, and we've had excellent support.
You got to be really proud of this thing, Steve.
Proud of all the people. It's a team effort. If y'all don't work together, have good attitude, it's not going to work. And people ask me how it all the time when I see those, because they don't happen all the time now. I said, we had good attitudes all the time. We had attitude, good players, leadership, all that kind of good stuff that, makes winners. And I know that's what everybody shoots for, but we're fortunate to have that back in the 90s and so forth.
Tell me about Florida football now. I know you like Billy. He's a good guy. Where do you think it's headed? What do you think?
Well, we're going to find out again this year, I guess. Anticipation and expectation is about the same as last year.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, it's bad or good or whatever. He's got a bunch of new coaches. Seems like they are going to be more demanding, make the guys more accountable. Seems like the leadership with Graham Mertz and some of those other guys is going to be there. So schedule's tough, but, everybody's got a tough schedule now just about in the SEC. See, I think the win, go 8-4 and win the game.
Okay.
And if we did that, we can do cartwheels and somersaults.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, we'll be a happy bunch of Gators if that can happen.
Steve, do you have a favorite orange and blue memory as a coach?
Orange and blue memory? Well, my freshman year, we had the spring game, orange and blue game, at night. And I got to play about the whole game. It was before my sophomore year. And Coach Graves said, yeah, you can throw all you want to. So anyway, this was 1960, 64, something like that. and I threw for 214 yards. And in the write-up in the paper, the guy said, if this had been a regular season game, 214 would have been the school record.
I'll be done. How about that?
So I think I may have got it later in that season. But I don't think Florida had ever had 200 game passing before I got here.
You had a fun time with the spring games when you were the coach here. I was back in the newspaper business and then even after radio on the network. That was a fun day, wasn't it?
Yeah, we gave up a whole bunch of awards. You know, right. Most reliable, most unselfish, offense, defense, hustle award, all kind of stuff. So, and the parents of the players, they all came to spring game. And, you know, when your son gets introduced at halftime for an honor, an award, they love it. And so, yeah, it was. And it was mostly for guys who hadn't played much. I remember the second year here, I told our defensive lineman, Brad Culpepper, and two or three others that were, I think, were going to be seniors. I said, you guys are not even suiting up the spring game. What? You're kidding, aren't you, April Fool? I said, no, not April Fool. You're not playing, okay? And anyway, the media guy, I'm trying to think of his name, McBride.
Okay.
He told the AD, Jeremy, he said, Spurrier's not even suiting up all the guys. How are we going to sell those $5 tickets? Jeremy said, if he don't want to suit up the guys, he don't have to suit up the guys. But they were worried about back then we – yeah. Sold tickets for $5 or $10, something like that. So anyway,
Steve, when you watch Graham Mertz play, what do you like about?
He's a good passer. He's a good passer, excellent passer, really, and seems to be a good leader out there. You know, everybody runs the same offense now. It seems like everybody's in the gun. Guys going to move. The gun, three or four wide receivers, things like that. But obviously, you still run the ball and stop the run. That's still a big part of the game. But that's all it
is. With us at Spurs, Gridiron Grill. Who's your best team? Who's your best team of your 12? Here, what was your best team?
Well, statistically, the 96 team, we won the SEC games. I think about 47-16 mm-hmm. was the average score.
Okay.
So
that one?
That was 31-point average margin of victory. 95 team was about 29 or something.
Yeah.
So those two were probably considered the best. Gosh, the last one, 98 and 2001 teams, it did not win an SEC. They finished third and fifth in the nation. But we, you know, lost the game Tennessee and this, that, and the other. But they were all pretty good. And I think what I'm most proud is they all won between 9 and 12. We didn't win the SEC every year, but we almost did. We were in the hunt. We were in the fight for it every year. So that's what I think coaches, teams, man, if we're in the hunt every year, not going to win them all, but we'll win our share.
Steve, you and I had this talk a few years ago. You told me you thought that 95 team was talented. Well, they all were. I thought the 2001 team. I thought that 2001 team.
Yeah, was right there
was
too.
Really good.
I think we were first in the SEC in defense.
Yeah.
And I'd be dead gum. Travis Stevens of Tennessee ran for 225 yards on us that night.
Yeah.
And we blew several scoring chances. Had to kick some short field goals.
Yeah.
And we got beat 34-32. So that's how that season happened.
On a game that had to be played later. Mm-hmm, the game wound up being played later than it would have been. But, I thought that was a good – I've told this story a lot of times. We were at LSU. I was on the network. We were at LSU. And that's the game. Aaron Walker caught all the touchdowns. Aaron Walker – Rex threw five, and Aaron Walker caught one. And I remember that day. You know, some days just jump out at you. Mm-hmm. Going to Baton Rouge in 01. Yeah. And, I mean, that's LSU now. And just beat the dog out of them. I thought that might be – I walked out of there thinking, that might be as good a Florida team as I've ever seen. That day.
Yeah, that was Saban's second year down there.
That's right.
So we beat them 44-15, I think.
Yep. That's right.
But then we lose at Auburn and then lost to Tennessee. Yeah. LSU regroups, and they beat Tennessee and win the SEC.
That's right.
So that's sports right there. You got to win the right ones and play well right at the end of the season, and LSU did that.
When you guys upset the Noles in 97, at what point in the week, Steve, did you decide on the Doug Johnson, Noah Brindis, how you were going to maneuver the quarterbacks in that game so brilliantly?
Oh, I don't know. Tuesday or Wednesday, I was driving my boy Scotty to school. He went to P.K. Young then. And I said, Scotty, I think I'm going to alternate quarterbacks. FSU knew our signals.
Right.
And we tried to hide them, but they videoed me for 10 years.
Right.
So they knew them, and we did do a good job of hiding. So I said, well, we'll just run the quarterbacks in. We won't have to worry about hiding the signals. So now which one do you throw out there first? Because he's the starter.
Right.
So I asked Scotty, my son Scotty, I said, which one should I run out there first? We're going to rotate the quarterbacks. And he said, well, Pops, is Noah ever lost a game that he started? I said, no, he hasn't. Noah's the starter. And that's how it happened. And he took the first play against Penn State down at the Citrus Bowl in the bowl game also. And we rotated that game also.
Yep.
And then we went back to normal quarterbacks after that.
Mm-hmm. I thought when I had Shane on last week and I asked him this, I thought maybe the most important game you might have coached was at Alabama in 90.
First game.
For Will White with all the interceptions. And do you agree with that? One of the most important games.
Yeah, that got us in position to win the SEC that year. If we don't win that one, we would not have been in position. Yeah, that was crucial to get going on the right foot and win it the first and second year. And then that win at Kentucky was big in 93 to get us
better believe it
going
was.
For those four in a row. So, we can look back and but that was huge to beat Alabama at Bama.
Yeah.
They were defending SEC champ along with Auburn and Tennessee. We had three champs in 89. Do you know that? They were all 6-1.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And Bill Curry was at Alabama, and he was 6-1 and was co-SEC champ, and he got fired because he lost to Auburn.
Ain't that funny?
And that's
what I remember about Hayes about that 90 game. Well, Steve had just gotten the job, and you knew they were going to be good under Steve, and they scored all the points against Oklahoma State. But when they won at Tuscaloosa, that's when the whole league said, uh-oh. I'm telling you, that's when the whole league woke up.
You know how we won the game, don't you?
I remember the touchdown.
Block punt!
That's right. Yeah, the touchdown to Terrence Barber, but you blocked the punt.
Jimmy Spencer
got through and
blocked it. And, Bob Sanders was our punt block coach, and one of the coaches up top told him to go ahead and block it, and he said, well, if we rough the punter, coach will be mad, and he said, go ahead, call the block punt. So we blocked the punt and went up 17-10. They kicked the field goal, and we had a little drive, ran out about the last 4 or 5 minutes of that game. So anyway,
title on their home field.
Yeah.
We were talking a couple years ago, and you mentioned that. How special is that 91 team and being the last – because obviously the league then went to the SEC championship game, which you had great success in, too.
Yeah, we are the last one to win on their home field in 91, and that one got way too close than it should have. Golly, it was 29-26 with about 7 minutes left, and we put together a drive and scored a touchdown with about 30 or 40 seconds, and they were firing at the end zone at the end of the game. But we got – we're up 28-7 at half, and we got – I don't know what happened at halftime. I tried to – come on now, let's don't start thinking about the celebration after the game, because they'd already advertised, all right, when the game's over, going to have all kind of pictures, going to take team picture, blah, blah, all the fans. And our fans went dead, too. I think FSU and Miami was playing that day.
Okay.
And it was a close game.
Okay.
And supposedly the booster said, oh, we were all up there watching FSU and Miami second half. We turned around and looked on our field, and we're about to get beat.
Yeah.
Man, 28-26. But anyway, Shane Matthews and Eric Rett had some good plays. And then our defense, we regrouped and beat FSU the next week, which I think first time in about 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, 14-9.
14-9 game.
Yeah,
our defense came alive that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Final thing.
Okay.
You enjoying yourself now? You're the ambassador here. This restaurant's fantastic. I just saw Jerry. She looks great. These are good times.
Yeah, it's what you do when you're finished coaching.
Yeah.
If my son was the head coach somewhere, I'd be somewhat involved. It's just analyst, look on type, and so forth. But, I can stay amused here at the restaurant and things in town here and so forth. I wish my golf game was as good as it was 15 years ago or 10 years ago. But anyway, the people run this restaurant here, it's been very successful.
They're doing a great job.
All right,
great seeing you, Steve Spurrier, the head ball coach here at Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Back in a moment. Stay with us on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
The Frangie Show from the Harrell & Harrell Studio. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Time for all things Jaguars and NFL with Pete Prisco. The Prisco Report, presented by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles.
Showtime.
On The Frangie Show.
And we do thank our friends from Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles. Man, they do a terrific job. If you are a collector, man, there's only one place to go. It's on Phillips Highway. You know that, right at the end of Shad Road. Everything you need, autographed memorabilia. They've got authentication going on over there once a month, card shows, and they just do a great job. Big place, big space, great people. Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles, the corner of Phillips and Shad, and you can find them on all your social channels, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. Pete Prisco Jones. Pete, how are you, man?
Good. How are you guys?
We are doing fantastic. So much to talk about today on the air, but I don't think it's going to happen, but Tom Brady's not playing, is he, Pete? I mean, tell me he was just trying to get people's attention.
Yeah, he was just trying to get people's attention. No, he's not going to play again. No way. I mean, look, the guy, he retired to spend time with his family and, spend time with your family. And he still has that job waiting for him in the box. I mean, he's making a boatload to go talk about football. So, no, I think he just put that out there goofing around.
Pete, what do you think happens with Rashee Rice? I mean, obviously there's massive legal entanglements here, but do you think it's possible that he barely plays this year for the Chiefs after such a sensational rookie campaign?
Well, he's going to get suspended. It's just a matter of how long. I mean, it depends how the legal process plays out. Obviously, first and foremost, his responsibility is to try and get through that and see if he doesn't go to jail, but I think if he, avoids jail, I think he plays this year, but he's also going to be suspended. And how much and how long, that remains to be seen. But, you would think at least 5-6 games he's going to be suspended. So, I think it's a problem for the Chiefs. And, they went out and got Marquise Brown, and they'll draft a wide receiver or two in this draft. And I think they have to if you look at their wide receiver.
Pete Prisco with us talking NFL. All right, Pete, let's get to it. We're within 2 weeks of the draft now. What are you hearing? Anything different? Is it still Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2? Has he slipped a little bit? Has Drake May moved up there? What's your read now on the top of the draft as we're within 2 weeks here?
Well, I think it's going to be Caleb Williams 1. I think Jaden Daniels is going to go number 2. I really believe that. Guys I talk to, people around the league, unless they're all lying, I think he's going number 2. And then I think it gets interesting at number 3. Because when you hear New England, the gossip around the league and the people that I talk to say that New England loves J.J. McCarthy. And so do you like J.J. McCarthy more than Drake May? And if you do, do you take him there? And so I think that's a strong possibility. Arizona at 4 is asking for a ton to move out of that spot. So if they're stuck, I think they take Marvin Harrison. And then number 5, it gets interesting because I think that's where, in my scenario, if J.J. McCarthy goes 3rd, that's where the Vikings go up to number 5, make a deal with the Chargers. Chargers get 2 first-round picks because they have a lot of problems on that roster, and the Vikings go get the quarterback that they want. And everything I hear is that's the guy they want is Drake back.
Pete, what'd you make of the Josh Allen extension?
I mean, you could have done it a little earlier and got him. Maybe you would have kept Ridley. I mean, that's the only thing you can say. It was a good deal for Josh Allen. They had to overpay him, and obviously they did, but kudos to Josh Allen because he rolled the dice. The guy didn't come in the offseason last year, but he was in great shape. He came to camp, he worked his butt off, and he had a great season, and he cashed in. And big props to Josh for doing that. And now it becomes the next step. You do one, you stack one of those big years up, now you got to do 2 of them. And when you get paid like that, people pay attention even more. So I think it's great for him. They probably could have done it a little earlier.
Pete Prisco with us from CBS Sports talking Jags and NFL and the like. Pete, some dude named Jordan Schultz, I think his name is, went on with Colin Cowherd, said something interesting. He made the point that essentially the Jags and the Titans offered Ridley the exact same dollars, and Ridley chose the Titans because Rand Carthon made him feel good about the atmosphere. That's not what I heard. I think the Titans offered way more than anybody else was paying Calvin Ridley, including the Jaguars. Did you think there was any truth to what he said?
No. I heard that the Jaguars backed out when it got a little too crazy for them. So, no, I heard the opposite of that. So, and by the way, Jordan Schultz, you know who Jordan Schultz is? His dad owns Starbucks. That's who Jordan Schultz is. But he
worked
hard at it. I give him credit. But he wanted to do it on his own. He wanted to become an NFL insider, and a kid works hard at it. And that's who his father is. His father started and owns Starbucks. So he doesn't have to work.
Have they done well?
Yeah, they've done well. What is it? $8 for a coffee? Is that what it is?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, Pete. I enjoyed your mock draft. You've got Terrion Arnold going to the Jaguars with the 17th pick. Why, in your view, would that be the right move for the Jags?
We have to get a young corner. You talk about Tyson Campbell last year. Darby's not a kid anymore. They have to get a young corner. And if one of those two guys, if it's Mitchell or Arnold, I think they fall to him, you have to take them. Now, there's a lot of scenarios where they don't fall to him. If they don't fall to him, then they have a decision to make. What do you do if you're stuck there at 17? Do you take another position? Do you force a corner at that spot? Cooper DeJean had a great workout. I mean, had a great workout for the Iowa kid the other day because he had an individual workout because he was hurt. He was fantastic. He's a good cover player. He could also go play safety if you need be down the line. So there are other corners, but I think if you're stuck at 17, you might have the decision to make between A, offensive lineman, B, a corner, and C, maybe even a wide receiver in that spot.
Yeah, I would think my read on that seems to be that for me, I would think corner, receiver, edge, somehow, some way, are the first three guys. Don't you feel that way? Doesn't it seem that way to you? Corner, receiver, edge are somehow, some way, the first three needs for the Jags?
Yeah, and it's interesting, Frank, when you say receiver, I've said receiver a bunch. People push back on that because they have guys, but you got to have one young guy to build it around the young quarterback. You know, the guy's going to be around for, 5 or 6 years and be that guy. And they don't have that guy. I mean, they paid Gabe Davis, but he's not that guy. Kirk,
right.
By 4 or 5 years from now, you're probably not even on the roster. And Zay Jones is getting up in years and probably not on the roster. So I think when you look at it, you got to get a young guy. So if you're in that situation, there are a ton of receivers in this draft. And at that spot, at 17, the Thomas kid from LSU could be in play. Mitchell from, the former Georgia kid that went to Texas could be in play. And they're both big physical guys who can run. And I think that's something you'd have to give strong consideration to. And you mentioned the pass rusher. I think Turner's gone. There's probably a chance that Burse is gone. So you got to sit there and say, okay, who's our edge in this scenario? And it would be Latu. And when you look at Latu, he's got some medicals that are concerning. He might be the best pass rusher in the whole group, but the medicals are very concerning. They almost cost him his football career. So you have to hope that maybe the Jaguars did their work on him and they feel okay with it, because that kid can really rush the pass.
Pete, the timeline of the Josh Allen extension surprised me for what you mentioned earlier about the inability to then tag Ridley by not doing it in January, but also to do it well before the mid-July deadline. Do you think there's anything to – obviously they saved $14 million on the cap this year – by doing the extension now, anything to the Josh Allen extension becoming a blockbuster move to acquire, obviously, a very high-priced player, probably a receiver?
Where are you going with that, Hayes?
Well, do you think that the Josh Allen extension leads to either an Ayuk trade or a run at Justin Jefferson?
Or Higgins. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, you clear up that kind of cap room at this time of the year. You're clearing it up for reasons to maybe make a move. So, if you're going into the draft and you're thinking you're going to take a wide receiver, possibly you get to 17 and Arnold and Mitchell are both gone and you're going to take a wide receiver there, would you be willing to give up 17 and something else to go get Higgins or Ayuk and then pay him? Because whoever you trade for, you're going to have to pay. And that's the difference. If you stay there and pick Thomas, he's cheap. If you trade that pick and something else to go get Ayuk or Higgins, you're paying them. And when you do that, you're adding a lot of money onto your cap, and you got to extend that quarterback. So I don't think they would do that. What it could do, though, it clears the lane for, like, after the draft to be able to get a couple veterans if you want to kind of, you know, plug them in and try and make those guys come onto your roster and help your team, because those guys won't count against the compensatory picks. And you don't do it before the draft. You do it after you see what you get, and you go back in. And there's still some good players out on the market. So I think that could be something that they would do as well.
Pete Prisco with us from CBSSports.com talking NFL. All right, Pete, beyond the first four guys, beyond Williams and Drake May and Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, are there any quarterbacks in the league, in the draft, that have your attention, even the guys that can surprise us? Michael Pratt, maybe. Is there anybody in there that you nobody watches this draft as close as you do, and you go through all these guys. Anybody grab you?
Pratt. And by the way, I know Hayes always asks me who's on my better than team. Pratt is. Pratt's a South Florida
kid. I love it.
Kid.
I love the better than team.
Yeah, he went to Boca. He was from Boca, went to high school at Deerfield, had great receivers there. There was a little the wide receiver from Miami. What's his name? Gestepo or something?
Yes.
He caught a bunch of balls for them. He was on that team, and he went there, and they won. And then he went to Tulane. He started 44 games at Tulane, and he got better every single year. And I didn't see his pro day because it wasn't one of those publicized ones, but talking to people around the league, he had some mechanical flaws where he didn't really drive the ball the way he should. He fixed them, and supposedly at his pro day, he was fantastic. I think Pratt in the third round would be a great pick for anybody if you're looking for a young quarterback to maybe develop. I would take Pratt in the third round before I take McCarthy in the first round.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. And what about the Nix, Penix, Rattler? Anything there for you or no?
Rattler can really throw. Everybody, Rattler's going to get drafted probably in the third round. I think Rattler can really throw it. I mean, we know that.
Right.
He can throw the ball.
Right.
It's just a matter of what's upstairs. And, you know, you hear differing reports on that, how he's going to handle the whole, you know, body of being a quarterback and be the workload and the work and everything else. I think there's some talent there to work with. Bo Nix, you know, people compare him to Drew Brees. Maybe Drew Brees before. Remember Drew Brees had the shoulder operation and his arm got stronger. Nix doesn't have a great arm. And, I watch a lot of Oregon tape because I really love one of their wide receivers on that team. That Franklin kid can really go. And by the way, he's on that better than team as well. There are a lot of plays where he's waiting for the ball. It's not delivered in time and accurately. And I think that to me worries me about Bo Nix. So I think Penix, if he was healthy, would be a surefire first-round pick. And by the way, there's still a chance he could go into the first round. Somebody might go back in at the back end and take him. So I think you'll see five quarterbacks probably in the first round, because I do think Penix will wind up in there. And then Nix will probably go second, and then maybe Pratt and Rattler the third.
Do you get the sense that Justin Jefferson is available?
No, but everybody's available for a price. I mean,
what would it take? Ones and two twos?
Two ones and a two will probably get it done. You remember, if you get him, you got to pay him. So you're basically saying, and I love him. I think he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But if you're Jacksonville, just saying, you gave up your 17 and a pick next year and a two, and you go get Justin Jefferson, well, now you got to pay him. And now you got to pay him, and then you're going to pay your quarterback. And then all of a sudden you start picking off your roster. To me, that's a little too risky. I'd rather take a young receiver and see if he develops into Justin Jefferson. I mean, Justin Jefferson was not an early pick in the NFL draft. He developed into one hell of a player, but he wasn't an early pick.
Pete, final question. And we'll do a lot of draft preview, obviously, next week when we have you on. But I'll tease it with this, or I'll get it started with this. Any surprises coming? Any wow moments early in the draft that you can see? Caleb Williams dropping out of number one, somebody else rising up. Wow moment by for a trade that we don't see coming. Is it too early to guess at a wow moment now?
I don't think you're going to see a wow moment in the top 10. I mean, I really don't. I think it's pretty easy to figure out which guys are going to go. It's just a matter of where they go. You see, you know, you got four quarterbacks, the three wide receivers. Probably Dallas Turner's been penciled in a lot to Atlanta, and then will definitely go into top 10. And then all of a sudden, one of the cornerbacks might slide in there. All of a sudden, you look at it, you go, okay, you're at 10, and every guy that was supposed to go went. You know, to me personally, J.J. McCarthy going in the top five is eye-opening and really amazing to me because I don't see it. So that's the surprise for me. But as far as wow moments, your wow moment might come when where Brock Bowers goes. As good as he is, the position has been, you know, it's a great position to have, but you don't usually pick that top that high. And if you look at the guys who have been picked high, like Kyle Pitts, he hasn't lived up to it. And so I think, you know, there's some concern. Where does he slide to? Will the Jets take him? I mean, there's a possibility that the Jets will take him and add him to the mix because they're going for it. You know they are because if they don't win, Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are gone. So it's a matter of if Aaron Rodgers wants to pick, you know, the general manager, Aaron Rodgers of the Jets, if he wants Brock Bowers, that's who he's going to pick.
Pete Prisco checking in from CBSSports.com, brought to you by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles. Pete, thanks, man. Talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Pete Prisco talking NFL with you. Again, always brought to you by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles. Man, nobody does a better job than my friends at Showtime. Again, it's on Phillips Highway at the end of Shad Road. It's a really big operation. We've been there a lot of times. We love doing shows from over there. They've got those card shows once a month, and they do a fantastic job. But if you are a collector, head to Showtime today. When we come back, we do have some Hayes headlines. We're going to get to them now. Had the ball coach an hour ago. You know what?
That's
you got
a pretty big headline.
You got bumped for the ball coach. Okay?
I couldn't ask for a better bump.
You know what? We'd all get bumped for the ball coach. When we come back, Hayes headlines are next. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Gather around.
It's Hayes' headlines presented by Harrell & Harrell. Don't settle for less than you deserve.
Hear all about it.
Here's Hayes Carline.
All right, welcome back to the Frangie Show. Frank Frangie, J.J. LaSelva. I am Hayes Carline. We are here at Spurrier's. Appreciate our friends from Harrell & Harrell. Give them a call at 251-1111, 251-1111. Holt Harrell, obviously a huge Gators fan as well, so he's excited that we're here. All right, Frank.
Holt loved hearing the ball coach.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you Holt was listening in with the ball coach.
No doubt about it.
I promise you that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We were here in college for the glory days
of
that run, and we were lucky to experience it. The Jaguars will be making some news next week. The offseason program begins, Frank, so we're going to have a chance to talk to some of the players and get a sense from Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson about their draft plan.
Yeah, and we'll have a draft, the pre-draft luncheon, which we always have. The players will be available. Some of those will be available. Again, I think it's an odd offseason in that some disappointment lingers to some on how it ended. But I think when you get beyond that, it's an off season of expectations and hope. It's an off season of possibilities. I really believe that. I think it's a good football team. It's one of the few times, they're about to start their 30th year. It's one of the few times there's been April, May, June, July as we get set for their year that they felt better about their team going in than this one. A few, 99, 2000, that stretch. Probably 18, they felt just like this, maybe last year. But there haven't been that many, and I'm excited about where they are.
Absolutely. The Orange and Blue game is tomorrow. Give us a preview. What are you excited to see from the Gators?
I think what everybody wants to see is the ball down the field. I think last year's spring game was so defensive, and I think you want the defense to be better, but that's not what spring games are about. Spring games aren't about the defense being better. Because defense has to be better with physicality, and there's not a lot of physicality. They have to tackle better. The one thing they didn't do, they can't be the sieve that they were last year defensively, Hayes. But it's a spring game, bro. I want the ball. I want to see Chimre Dike. I don't know much about Chimre Dike other than it's a fantastic name.
Right.
But he is Graham Mertz's buddy. They were together at Wisconsin. And look, we want to see Lagway, man. Everyone wants to see Lagway. They want to see the ball down the field. So I think verticality is what I want to see.
We have had absolute carnage at the Masters today. The projected cut right now is 4 over, and really there's 50 players that are at that. So it could come back to even 5 over by the time that the second round concludes. To give you the list of some notables that have really struggled, Victor Hovland 6 over, Jordan Spieth 9 over, Justin Rose 7 over, Brian Harman, the reigning British Open champion, 9 over. He had a 47 on the back nine in the first round earlier this morning when they had to complete their play from Thursday because of weather. Bubba Watson shot an 80 today, and Dustin Johnson 13 over par.
It's listen, that they can make that thing hard, man, that when the wind gets blowing and everything gets hard there, and they understood the softness was going to come because the rain was coming, so they probably prepared. They went the other way. I'm not surprised. I still like it when it's a challenge a little bit. I've never been one that wants to see him go low. So I think for me, I like it when – it's not that I like it when they struggle. I like it when it's a hard golf course because that's what they're supposed to be playing.
Absolutely. Frank, here's our Loser Monday update. It looks like it'll be either you or me.
You? You're not –
going
not gonna
to – well, we're close. We're like it's three shots apart.
We are?
Yeah, we're pretty close. But it begs the question, is it time to induce Meredith Scheffler?
Yes. Hey, let me just say this. If J.J. LaSelva, out of a former Ocala Forest Monarch, if J.J. LaSelva was winning the whole time and then the last day lost because Scheffler left, there's no words to tell how happy I'd be.
JJ, by the way, I heard she's not even due until 3 weeks.
Dang.
That doesn't matter.
It could still induce.
It could happen.
We're ready for an
induce. You can induce at any time. Don't wait. Don't be late.
You know what we need? We need a full moon. Is there a full moon coming tonight?
Another eclipse. Oh.
Yes, we do.
Frank, Carson Beck has really been the subject of a couple fantastic features. The Athletic did one a couple weeks ago. ESPN's Chris Lowe, who obviously is arguably their one of their greatest writers, both have written fantastic pieces about Carson Beck. See the face of the upcoming college football season?
He's certainly the most recognizable player on a team most expect to be the best team. If you're the most recognizable player at a very high the most visible position on the best team, you're going to be that guy. So, you know, he's an understated guy to his credit, because that's what he wants. So I don't know that Carson wants to be the face of this or the face of that. But, yeah, if you ask me, I think he's probably going to be the leading Heisman candidate, doesn't he? He's got to be certainly up there.
I think he's absolutely
up there. Yes, he's the most recognizable player in America because he's the most recognizable player and the most important player on a team that is roundly considered, at least for today, the best team.
Getting into college basketball, Kentucky has hired Mark Pope.
He loved this.
Your thoughts, please.
That was fantastic. I don't know what to think about Mark Pope. He used to play there, and he coached at BYU, right?
He coached at BYU. They got to the NCAA tournament twice in 5 years.
How about that?
I'm sure that'll go over well at Kentucky.
Well, that was tremendous, by the way. Here's the story. Not who they hired, that they didn't hire Danny Hurley, Jay Wright, Nate Oates, Scott Drew, Billy Donovan. Isn't that really the story?
5.
Now, he may turn out to be great.
He may.
But the fact that I think the storyline is going to be the 5 they didn't hire, because Mark Pope was way down the list. He's a former player there, and everybody raves about him because everybody always raves about every coach that gets hired. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, they really had
you to. Enjoyed that hire.
I did. I thought that was a fantastic hire for Kentucky. JJ, some sound, please, sir.
Teresa, I love you 1,000%. I'm never going to stop believing that every day I choose you.
Oh, my God.
Will you marry me?
Yes! Oh, I love you.
I don't want to ever be without
you. You're the happiest woman in the world.
Oh, can love recover? The Golden Bachelor. The most promoted show of the football season last year. Unfortunately, Frank, it didn't even get to 100 days. The Golden Bachelor has announced he is getting divorced from the woman that he married.
First of all, who doesn't love the Bachelor? Yeah. Did we have? I just saw Todd Golden. Well, let's drag Todd in here.
Yeah, Todd.
Can we drag Todd in? Is he busy? See if Todd gets 5 minutes for us. We'd love to see that. By the way, nothing greater than the Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
The Golden Bachelor is fantastic. So, see if Todd can join us for a second. We've had Todd on a minute or two before, so if we can get Todd in here, that would be fantastic, the Gator basketball coach. Love the Golden Bachelor.
Yeah.
Is there anything better in the world?
I think we only ripped that show for about 3 weeks August
when
we started seeing the promos every time that CBS went to commercial. And, shocking. That a marriage that was formed off reality television did not go the distance.
It really is. I think we've got one more break, so let's try and sneak that break in here. And we may have to come back early from it if we can sneak Todd Golden. Todd just walked by here. What a great year he had.
Oh,
so if we can sneak Todd Golden here, we will try and do that. Do we have time to go to break? Is Todd on his way over or no? I'm trying to figure this out. I can't tell. I'll tell you what, JJ, we're going to go to a break, I think, but we will probably come back from it very quickly. If So we'll let's take a quick break. If Todd Golden joins us, we'll come back. Either way, we'll be back in a moment. Our last segment from Spurrier. Stay with us.
Now back to a Big Chief Tire Friday on The Frangie Show. Big Chief Tire. Visit BigChiefService.com.
Only guy that hates me.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad you're with us, Frank Frangie's car line. And what a great present. How lucky we are to have Todd Golden stop by. Congratulations on a great year, man. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you all for having me. It's always a pleasure. Enjoy talking to you guys before the year. And I'm glad we're able to reconnect afterwards. I'm really proud of where we are. I feel like we made a big jump, obviously going from 16 wins to 24. Really proud of the run we had in the SEC tournament. You know, I thought that was a really good kind of building block for us. Obviously, would have liked to make a run down the stretch, but now we have something more to shoot for next year.
Todd, it's clear to everybody that the program turned the corner way faster than I thought it would, and probably way faster than a lot of people did. It's turned the corner. You have to feel really good about that.
I feel great. Like I said, you know, I thought we'd make a jump in year two, you know, just in terms of some of the guys we were able to bring in and just culturally being able to build on that a little bit. And the funny thing is it kind of took us a little bit to, you know, get our feet on solid ground through non-conference. We played really well. We just didn't get any of those big games done. We lost by 2-4, whatever it was. But, you know, and we started conference play 1-3 and found a way. But I really feel like kind of the turning point was when we won at Rupp. You know, I kind of gave guys in our program a lot of confidence that we could play with anybody on any given night. And from that point through the end of really the SEC tournament, I mean, I think we played about as well as anybody out there.
And to perform as well as you did against Alabama, I mean, just what kind of effort, performance, what did that do for the program, having that success against a team that ended up going to the final?
Yeah, it was bittersweet, to be honest, because we were seeing them roll through teams in the tournament. We were sitting at home. And, you know, as to your point, you know, when we beat them at home, we beat them by 18. In the conference tournament, we were up by as many as 25 against them. And I think we won by 14 or whatever it was, but we controlled the game. Pretty much from start to finish after they went on that little 8-0 run to start. But I actually texted Nate this after they made it to the Elite Eight. I was like, hey, and I like Nate. I think he's a really good coach. I said, hey, man, congrats. You know, we're pulling for you. Good luck. I said, it also makes me feel really good about where our program is, that we beat your butt the last times we played you.
I get it. I've seen all the great guard combos here. Moten and Maxwell have no peers, but Cross and Brown, I could go on and on. Man, we're pulling in Clayton good. We didn't know those. You know, in the portal era, Todd, we don't know anybody until we see them. My goodness, were those two guys good.
They're fantastic. And we knew that ZP was going to be a lot better than people expected. Obviously, you know, he wasn't a name that people recognized. He came from UC Riverside on the West Coast. You know, how would anybody know? But I had a pretty good sneak peek of him as he played for one of my best friends. And like I told him in the recruiting process, I saw him play about 40 or 50 times.
Right.
So I knew he was really, really good. I'd be lying if I said I thought it would translate as well as it did. I thought he'd be, you know, really solid, potentially an all-league type guy. But, you know, he was right up there with Mark Sears as the best point guard in the league for most of the year. We'll miss him a lot. You know, he did a great job for us, though. And, you know, Walter obviously is just a fantastic player as well. One of the best scorers in America. I feel like he kept getting better and better as the year went on. And fortunately for us, you know, if he's not able to get that first round grade, you know, I think we'll have a really good shot of getting him back.
Micah was obviously such a great rim protector, defender for you. He's such a great kid.
Yeah.
Can you update us on his condition? How is he doing?
Yeah, it couldn't have happened to a nicer kid, which you hate to see. One of the best teammates and guys I've ever been around, and it shook us. It jolted us, obviously, in the game. But the team really rallied around him in the couple days after. He had a clean surgery. Really, really thankful for the job that the Vanderbilt Hospital and their team did, being able to get him in quickly and be able to – he was operated and surgery was completed by the time we were preparing to watch the selection show. So you can imagine how quickly that was. He's avoided any true issues in terms of infections or anything like that. So he's going to make a full, strong recovery. You know, I think next year is still up in the air a little bit. It's obviously a very severe injury for any basketball player, but a 7-foot-1 guy. And, you know, the great thing about Mike, and we talked to him about this, if he's ready to go, we'll be thrilled. If he's not, let's redshirt and let's get you back that next year. But he's through and through a Gator, man. He loves being here. And regardless of whether we get an impact from him on the court, he will continue to impact our program as we continue to build into year three.
Todd Golden with us, Florida basketball coach. You're obviously very good at the portal thing. Do you like it? It's the different world, man. It's for us, for an old guy like me, it's a different world.
Yeah, I mean, like it, you know, that's a stretch. I think, you know, the one thing that's changed dramatically over the past year that makes it a lot different is they changed the transfer rules, right? Yeah. So last year and the first year I was here in the portal, you know, everybody had that one-time transfer exception.
Right.
And then you had a graduate transfer exception. Or if your coach left, you could usually get a waiver. That was kind of the deal. And we had some strategies in terms of how we went around building our team based off that. But in the middle of this year, when the Attorney General in West Virginia got involved and people started, you know, basically throwing lawsuits at every angle at the NCAA, and they said, hey, we're rubbing our hands clean of this. You guys can do whatever you want, basically. That I don't think is necessarily healthy for college athletics, you know, where the guys can basically jump in the portal every offseason. You know, it's yearly free agency, and we got to find a solution where they can have some freedom and some choices. But again, I think the lack of accountability and the lack of having to stay in one location and fight through a little bit of adversity is something that's going to harm them later on in life. I really believe that.
Final thing, Todd, and yep. Thank you for jumping here without notice. We appreciate that. What about moving forward? A lot of portal guys. But you still want to mix, right?
I mean,
the idea is to mix the high school guys too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our goal, obviously, every year we're going to want to plug some holes with some portal guys. But if we can continue to bring in really young, talented players that we feel like can grow in the program, that's what we want to do. You know, and I think it's funny because people talk about our high school recruit. Oh, you haven't signed any five stars. Da, da, da. Listen, Alex Condon could be playing on any team in America, right? And so I think our staff has done a really good job of identifying him and Tommy Houck last year, obviously. Identifying some really undervalued guys that really love being a Gators. And these guys are awesome. They're going to be stars for us next year. I'm really excited to have them back. But Isaiah Brown's a great example of that, yeah. The freshman from Orlando we have. I think we'll add a couple more freshmen like that over the next couple weeks.
Todd Golden, basketball coach. Great year again. Congratulations,
thank you,
man.
Appreciate y'all.
Todd Golden,
yep. Happy Friday.
Basketball coach at the University of Florida. Folks, that'll do it for our program here from Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Thanks for being part of it. We do want to thank the ball coach for stopping by, Steve Spurrier. And, of course, Todd Golden. What a great job he did with this Florida Gator basketball team this year. Great to have him stop by. That was fun. That'll do
that
it.
Was awesome.
That'll do it for our show. JJ, We had a lot of things we had to work out. Great work back at World Headquarters. That'll do us. Rick Ballew is next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.